Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. The Sharon Springs Harvest Festival takes place this Saturday and Sunday in Sharon Springs, New York. The annual event, run by Beekman 1802, celebrates the magic of small-town America with a harvest hop, a harvest feast, a farmer's market, and more. This year's festival will include a screening of the documentary film, The First Season. The film takes place in Sharon Springs and captures the experiences of Paul and Phyllis Van Amberg and their young children as they take their life savings and buy and run a dairy farm. The First Season is directed by Rudd Simmons, and it's his directorial debut. As a film and television producer, Rudd Simmons has worked with directors Jim Jarmusch, Tim Robbins, Stephen Frears, Wes Anderson, Julie Taymor, and John Hillcoat, producing Dead Man Walking, High Fidelity, the first season of the TV series Boardwalk Empire. He was the executive producer of The Road, Across the Universe, The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, The Royal Tenenbaums, and The High-Low Country. Rudd Simmons joins us now. Rudd, welcome to The Roundtable.
Thank you so much, Sarah. It's great to be here.
Before we talk all about the first season, I would like to learn a little bit about you. You've been a film and television producer. How did you find and decide to follow that career path?
Well, I don't know. I fell in love with the movies when I was in college in a big, big way. I remember telling everybody I wanted to be a film director, and they said, oh, that's great. Well, what does a film director do? And I said, I wasn't really even sure. But I knew that I wanted to be part of movies. When I graduated, the big question was how to become part of movies. I didn't have family. I didn't know anything about movies. There was absolutely nothing in my world that was a connection. So I applied to film schools. I was accepted into a couple. I came up here to New York City to interview at NYU and literally just fell in love with the city. When I came to NYU, what I was very interested in doing is studying documentaries, mm-hmm. and particularly a form of documentary called cinema verite, which is a fly-on-the-wall approach to telling a story. The summer before, I had an opportunity to attend a workshop that was taught by Richard Leacock, who was one of the founding members of the cinema verite movement here in the United States back in the 60s, and a designer, engineer of a lot of the lightweight film equipment that kind of allowed the filmmaker to go out with just two people. And I was just fascinated. And when I came to New York, I actually, for the first time, went to the theater and saw feature-length documentaries in the cinema verite style. And what I found fascinating about it was that it was the first time I realized that you can tell a story that is emotionally compelling, but told in a documentary form. In other words, actually observing and watching real people as they go through an event. And it's something that I've always been interested in ever since, that line between what's fiction and what's nonfiction. There were a number of writers back in the 60s and 70s that explored that, and there was a whole school that came out of that called the New Journalism School, which was kind of tipped off with Truman Capote's In Cold Blood. When I got out of school, I started working. I started working in documentaries, and I couldn't make a living. I was doing industrials, and I switched over and started working on feature films, working with a couple of my classmates at NYU, Jim Jarmusch, director Spike Lee. I was able to build a career and managed to build a career that, as a producer, I work primarily with directors who have a very, very individual stamp mm-hmm. on all of their movies. I made High Fidelity with Stephen Frears, The Royal Tenenbaums with Wes Anderson.
My favorite movie.
Actually, it's one of my favorites as well. Julie Taymor, Across the Universe, John Hillcoat, The Road. So basically, I was able to build a career as a producer working with all these wonderful directors. And every once in a while, I thought about moving out to L.A., but every time I did, another great project would come along. And so here I am.
The first season is screening at the Sharon Springs Harvest Festival on Saturday in the community room of the Sharon Springs Free Library. You film the documentary on a dairy farm in Sharon Springs, and that farm is run by Paul and Phyllis Van Amberg. How did you meet Paul and Phyllis and decide to make a movie about their dairy farm?
I've known them for probably over 10 years now. My wife and I have a house upstate. There came a point where the house, which is probably about 35 years old, everything was falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to get somebody in to do some construction work, and we were introduced to Paul, who at the time was a construction contractor and carpenter. And Paul and I got on great, and he came along. I think we were replacing windows at the time. And over the years, we ended up replacing all the windows in the house. We had to tear an entire wall down. We ended up rebuilding a deck. I mean, basically, Paul was there every summer. Paul's an amazing man because he's very, very well-read and extremely articulate. And what would happen is he would show up and come out and say, "Paul, can I get you a cup of coffee?" And, "Yeah, it's a great idea." So I brought him coffee, and he got his guys working. And then before you know it, Paul and I are sitting there, and we're talking. You know, we're talking about politics, or we're talking about cars, or we're talking about farm. We're talking about anything. And it was almost as if I had discovered my long-lost best friend from college. And before you know it, it's 6 o'clock, and the coffee is now beer, and we're drinking beer, and we're still talking. So we eventually I met Phyllis, his wife, and his kids, and we all just became good friends. And then one night, we had them all over for dinner, and I know that Paul and Phyllis had been slowly moving into kind of a grow-your-own-food, raise-your-own-animals in the house that they had nearby. And we were sitting there, and they were very excited, and they said, "So, guess what, guys? We bought a farm." My wife and I both were horrified because at the time, if you drove around the area, every dairy farm was going out of business, and sub-developments were being built, or people were buying the land for summer homes, and everybody was getting out of the business. Milk prices were at an all-time low. It was just a disaster. So we spent the evening trying to talk them out of it. Now, Paul and Phyllis both are, I don't want to say hard-headed, but they know what they want, mm-hmm. and they go for it. So at the end of the evening, you know, they kind of laughed and said, "Well, you know, Rudd, we really appreciate your concern, but we've already bought it."
Right.
And so the next morning, I get up, and my wife and I are at coffee, and she said, "You know, that would make an interesting movie." And I started to think about it, because farms, especially small family farms, were and are in a state of crisis.
Mm-hmm.
More and more, I think we get our food from industrial farms or from overseas, despite the fact that I know that there's a very strong local food movement in a lot of communities, and there are certain stores that specialize in that. I think still the majority of the food that we get, we're not really sure where it comes from. So I thought, you know, the interesting thing about the farm is that, in a way, it's kind of emblematic of the American dream, if you will. You know, the small family farm, the principles, the values that that represents are an individual taking control of their life with a belief that if you work really hard, you'll be successful, which is what the American dream is about. It requires thrift. It requires dedication. It requires discipline. All of which are what we consider very strong American values. And it's also family-centered, which goes to that idea as well. So, you know, I thought, well, what Paul and Phyllis are doing kind of taps into a dream that perhaps is very, very much a part of the American cultural landscape, a dream of being in control of your own life. You know, so whether it's a farm or a small business or whatever, it's that dream of being successful by the sweat of your brow. So kind of the idea is there, you know, the theme would be there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, as a filmmaker, I started thinking, well, what about story structure? How would that work? And I thought, well, any endeavor is going to be filled with conflict. and especially an endeavor like starting a farm from scratch and having never been farmers before. And so I felt, well, just the very nature of this family with these very, very strong beliefs trying to start a farm, there's going to be conflict there. And we're going to feel, we're going to connect with that family because of their dreams. And then there's Paul and Phyllis, both of whom, they're on camera, they're very, very compelling and attractive. And I don't mean that in a physical beauty kind of way, but I mean it's because they're living their life and they're living their dream and they're articulate about it and they're well-read that we are compelled to watch them. And I've always wanted to go back to my original dream of making a cinema verite film, nonfiction narrative, where the audience would be engaged emotionally. And so I thought, you know, I could make this film as a documentary. I could follow Paul and Phyllis. And today, with video equipment, one person can go out and shoot and do sound and can capture an intimacy that was absolutely impossible, you know, back in the 60s and 70s. So I can go and I can be with them. And if I can film it in such a way that there's no narration, there's nothing between the audience and the emotional situation that Paul and Phyllis are going through, that could be really interesting. I wasn't interested in putting their dreams into a political or financial or historical context. To me, it was enough that they simply had this dream and that they were going to struggle to make it happen. So I called them up and I said, guys, look, this is what I love to do. And they thought about it. I think they were very, very concerned that I would be intrusive and that that there would be times when I would be asking them to do things again or interviews. But after a couple of days, Paul called me back and he said, okay, let's do it. And we've been doing the festival route this year, and I've just been wonderfully surprised and appreciative in the way that audiences respond to the film.
The first season is screening at the Sharon Springs Harvest Festival on Saturday in the community room of the Sharon Springs Free Library. Rudd Simmons, thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Sarah. I really do appreciate the opportunity of talking with you.
The first season, directed by Rudd Simmons, will screen as part of the Sharon Springs Harvest Festival this weekend. To learn more about the festival, visit Beekman1802.com. That's Beekman1802.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
But if we can just stay here, improve this piece of ground, and then improve our lives with our children, we are on top of the game.
We can't not make it. We gotta make it.